people who backslide, for whatever word you want to call it. But I think if you can upslide, how many know you can backslide? So people who go away from God, they come and they tell me, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I was serving the Lord. I was doing good. But every time I put my finger on it, they did not get discipled. And very rarely do we have a new believers class in some of our churches. I'm thankful that when I got saved, there was a place where I could go. My family and I and Mr. Jerry, all of us went through all the new believers class, went in the membership class, and which is next. We want to welcome in our new members. It's pretty exciting. I just want to share with you, if you're just coming into faith with Christ, there is some tracks for you to grow on. There's a place where you can develop and become. Forget to come back tonight. It is going to be a great, great time of fellowship. And some of them have already brought turkeys. Listen, they jump right on in. Some of them are already in ministry and greeting, and others wanting to get in other ministries that are starting. And so it's really, really, really exciting. You see, Pastor, that's a lot on the agenda there. Yeah, I get it. I get that. But I'm going to preach anyway, and you're going to be patient. Somebody say amen. All right. Thanks living. That's not a typo. That is not a typo. That is what we want to talk about, because it's one thing to celebrate a turkey day, a holiday, but I think Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's a holy day. It's a day where we come together in the Lord. The pilgrims and the Indians didn't get together because they were hungry for corn. They got together because they loved the Lord and were thankful for surviving the seas and the ocean and the trauma and the hardships. They got together to say thank you to God, the one who got them through. And so we're going to talk to just a little bit here about Thanksgiving. And Leslie, I see you back there, and it's good. We've been praying for her. She made it to church in the wheelchair, so praise the Lord for that. Come on, welcome her home, back to the house of the Lord. So awesome to see all of you. So whether we've been the master of or the victim of our attitudes has been a matter of our choice. Thanksgiving is a matter of choice, right? So we need to learn. We need to learn the lesson of giving thanks. And it's a direct result. Who we become tomorrow is a direct result of the choices we made yesterday. And today, what we do makes a difference for tomorrow, right? It matters how your attitude is. And somebody said, if you can't become satisfied by what you have received, be thankful for what you have escaped from. Is anybody glad to come out of sin, come out of bondage, come out of a devil's lifestyle and serve the Lord? Anybody thankful today? And I guess if you've been born and raised in church and all you know is Christianity, you don't know any hardships, and just keep living, something's going to hit you sooner or later. I mean, the longer you live, the more you're going to hit. It's going to come. I said it rains on the just and the unjust, and there's pain in all of our lives, and it affects our attitude. It affects our thanksgiving. Another good quote is, compare what you want with what you have, and you may be very unhappy. Compare what you deserve with what you have, and you will get very happy. People say, Pastor Ron, how you doing? I'll say, better than I deserve. I also say, I've already lived longer than I deserved. I've got lots of friends that are already gone. Many of them, their families are broken. I mean, except for the grace of God in my life, I am most thankful today, and I know you are as well. So what's the problem? Well, let's look at the scriptures and see. God bless you. Thank you very much. And because you blessed me, I didn't sneeze. See how it is? I want you to look at it with me in Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Who stood at a distance. I think you should underline that. And they raised their voices and called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were miraculously healed and made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Somebody say, turned back. Glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. And he lay his face downward at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And he was a Samaritan. I thought that's pretty interesting that Luke would add that little line. And they raised their voices and called out, Jesus, Master. I went backwards. I'm sorry. I'll go the other way. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was there no one found to return to give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus said to him, get up, go your way. Your faith, your personal trust in me, and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health. Why do people get ungrateful hearts? Many reasons, and here's just a bunch of them. You have unfair expectations. You owe me attitude. You owe me. It's entitlement attitude. How many know America deals with that a lot? I deserve, it's mine. You owe me. Unfair expectations. Discontentment. It's not enough. Never enough. They become dissatisfied. Negative attitudes. You don't know anybody like this, so just give this message to somebody else. If you're online getting it, download it. Let somebody else hear it, because none of you have a problem with any of these, I'm sure. What about this problem or that problem? Negative attitudes. It can destroy a happy, thankful heart. Haughtiness, arrogance, pride. I deserved it. I'm worth it. This is where debt comes in. You know what? You don't need everything you think you need. Well, I work hard. I deserve it. Yes, right. But if you can't pay for it, leave it till you can. So, self-centeredness. I'm glad I got it. I feel better. It's all about me. All about me. Greed. I wonder if I can get more. Resentment. They have more than me. I think I should be, I remember we was in Bible school. My wife and I were in Bible school, and her boss told her, said, hey, Melissa, I'm really proud of you and Ron. You're going to school. You're getting an education. Some people start out married, young couple. They go out and they buy boats and houses and land and everything. They go in debt to their ears, and then they don't get their education. When it's time to get their to the next level of growth and blessing, they can't get it because they're limited by their preparation for life. And so this is an area where it can get you in trouble, resentment, fear. I sure don't want to lose this. So they lose a thankful spirit because they cling to everything. Deception, I could have done it better. That's where jealousy comes in and competition comes in. And I need this because I keep up with the Joneses attitude. And I get it and they get it and nobody's thankful for any of it. And then rationalization, it probably would have happened anyway, right? Everybody else is doing it. I need it. I need the iPhone 7 because it's the brand new. Listen, you don't know what you need. Only God knows what you need, right? Half of America doesn't have an idea what they need, right? And so these are some of the reasons. And I just want to look at Luke 17 because I think in here, in this little story, powerful story, it shows us three quick truths that I want you to see. First of all, we need to be reminded of all God has done. Could we just say, thank you, Lord? Could we just stop and be reminded in our own mind? Could Pastor Ron just stop and say, Lord, you've been good to me? And when you do that, it develops a habit of thanksgiving, a thankful living. It's how we can create an atmosphere. Because in biblical times, there were those who could get leprosy, like this guy in our text. And it's the worst disease for many reasons. First, your flesh would rot away, just fall right off the bone gradually. And then also the stigma that came with having leprosy was just as bad. The Mosaic law declared that a leper was unclean. And once you got it, you could not live with your family. You could not worship in the temple. You couldn't go to church, right? You couldn't be anywhere in public. You were quarantined the rest of your life outside the city or until you got healed, right? And so the law also required their faces to be covered, that they should cry unclean so anybody would get close to them. And the covering of the face meant no form of intimacy could be known to them. I want you to get that, because when I preach on seeking God's face next week, I want you to get that, because the intimacy, there is something about your face, right? and we'll pull it out next week. But in Hebrew tradition, the face was seen as being the most intimate part of a person. Therefore, to be the leper meant that you were a total outcast. You don't even show your face. Verse 12, the Bible said these lepers stood afar off, off at a distance. It said that they stood, the tradition said they had to stand at least 100 paces away from anyone. It's not 100 steps, that's 100 paces. So that's a long ways from anybody. And when anybody would come near, they had to let them know, unclean, unclean. It's an incredible picture of sin in the Bible. And leprosy was the outward visible sign of an inward, most spiritual corruption. It would start small and gradually spread. And internally, it would disfigure you. You know, you would be disfigured internally. It would dissolve your body outwardly. Just melt the flesh off of your bone. Little by little. Just a gradual worst thing you can imagine. In other words, sin would corrupt, degrade, and defile your inward nature. So what leprosy did to your outward body, sin would do to your inward man. Can I tell you what? We need more preaching against sin in our churches. We need to remind people of the awful effects of sin. We need to tell people that this is nothing to play with. You don't play with deadly diseases, right? You don't play with something that could kill you. And so it was corrupt. And so I wanted to show you some of the similarities between leprosy and sin. One is separation and isolation. You and I were separated once from intimacy with God. How many know, before you came to Jesus, we were separated like a leper is put outside the city and we were unclean. And I want you to know, if you're born again, you ought to be thankful for being clean. And that's what I'm going to get to the story, because I want you to see the differences, the similarities actually. But they were outcast from the kingdom of God. They were once in the process of losing everything they had. Listen, I was once in the process of losing everything I had because of sin. I would have no hope. I would have no future. I would have no life if I continued to live in sin. And whether you just came to Christ, maybe you're just starting to understand. That's why new believers are so exciting to be around, because they realize they've just come out of a lifestyle that did them no good, was killing them. And this week on my trip, I met with some friends, and that those that are struggling with sin, dealing with issues that are tearing their life apart, gradually separating them from intimacy with God. It's awful. But God, would somebody say amen? Come on, church, it's time. This is what this leper did. All 10 of them, all 10 of them, not just one. We'll talk about him in a minute. But all 10 of them, Max, were crying out loud to the top of their voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us," much like blind Bartimaeus. It's that same loud, I don't care what anybody thinks, cry. How many know when you get low enough, you don't worry about your reputation and what anybody thinks about you? If you're dying and your skin's falling off and your family's rotten and you're going through some things that are killing you, you don't really care about your personality and your reputation anymore. All 10 of these lepers crying out to Jesus. They must have heard how good God was. How many know we need to tell the good news, right? They must have heard how good Jesus was. They must have seen or heard him going about doing good and healing all. They must have seen him touch other lepers. They must have seen his goodness to those who were outcasts. And they said, "Have mercy on us." It's the only hope they had. And the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus had compassion on them and told them to go show themselves to the priest. The law gave the priest the right, I guess, of protection. The priest is there to represent people to God and God to the people. So if someone was unclean, it's contagious, it's awful, it's wicked, you certainly didn't come into the public place of worship. You couldn't go back to the house. You didn't have your job. You lost your income. You lost your affiliation. You lost your family. You lost everything. Hopeless. And the priest would be the one, I'm certain they wanted to come home. They were outside the camp. They were outside the town. They were not coming in. They had their own place, lepers. And so they were crying out to be joined again, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. So he would determine if they were healed so they could be joined with their families. The problem is, I just want you to get, why had they had no signs of being healed yet. They're still lepers. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. It's not like he said, be healed. They got healed and went to the priest, and the priest said, you know, you're healed. Go back to your families. They went back to their families, apprehensive, I'm sure, wondering, Lord, is this legal? I'm supposed to be, what, the priest? I can't go see the priest. How many's ever been between a rock and a hard place? This is where they are, and so there's no signs yet of being healed, but Jesus tells them to go to the priest. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Son of the living God. Amen? The Word of the living God. There's two reasons. One, he wanted to test their faith, and the other was he wanted to see if they would return. 10 of them he sent. One returned. I want you to see this because it's important that you get it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must recognize what our need is. And two, we must recognize where the blessing comes from. It was Jesus who did the miracle. It was the priest who said, you're clean. But the miracle was done somewhere between when Jesus said, go, and the priest said, you're good. The miracle didn't take place immediately. The miracle took place in the process of going. Can I tell you, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It would have been easy to go to the priest. The man not even gone to the priest if he'd already healed him. Might have went straight home. But after they went to the priest and he did release them, nine of them went home or somewhere else. Only one came back to Jesus to say thank you. So you got to recognize it. You know, your blessings come from the Lord. He was testing them to see how many would come back and say thank you. How many? One out of nine. They got so preoccupied with the blessing that they forgot to thank the blesser. That's the point of this story. It's not going to get long, and I'm not going to keep you forever. But this is what happened. They were healed in the process of obedience. It required an act of faith. And God honors our faith. He longs to heal what you're willing to reveal. Last Sunday night was powerful. We stood in the altars. People began to reveal what was going on in their spirit. And God did some miracles. You can't keep that inside of you. If you get desperate enough and you don't want leprosy anymore, obey the commands of Jesus. Go show yourself to the priest. I'm sure they were so desperate. They said, whatever it takes. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to go. And God will intervene in your life when you start walking toward Him. Amen? His power is actually released when they stepped out in faith. And then they thanked the Lord for what had been happening in their life. And then they began to act differently. That one leper acted differently than the other nine. He came back. And Jesus, you know, tells him, man, I haven't seen such faith. It's kind of like the lady. Remember 2 weeks ago, the Syrophoenician woman said, even the crumbs, hey, even the dogs can have the crumbs that fall off the master's table. Just give me whatever you can give me. It's a point of desperation. And we sit in church many times. We sit in church until it gets really bad. We won't make a move. But you want to talk about revival in your life is when the worst thing that can happen to you, you run to the altar. If things are going well, no reason to respond. But I want you to see this, because that same loud yell, Jesus, have mercy on me, was the same loud praise that he had when he came back. It's one thing for you to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then get over here, and after he heals you, thank you, Lord. Or no thank you at all. What I want you to see, the difference is, you can't just say, I need you. No thanks. And we do it to God every day. We desperately need him. We call out to him when we need him. But after he takes care of it, we don't give him the praise he deserves. How many thinks the Lord deserves our praise? And I'm talking about loud praise. To the degree you're willing to yell over here, you ought to be willing to yell over here. You see what I'm saying? You can't give all of this attention and intensity over here and then act like, oh, I'm all better. I don't need anybody. And so God releases his power. But gratitude will make you sensitive to the power of God working in your life. Satan will try to keep you from the blessing. I want you to see this because the guy had the right perception, okay? The leper that returned understood the perception of gratitude. He understood something. And he saw that he was healed. The Bible says the Greek word for saw here is to know, to see, to perceive. It's deeper than seeing that he was healed. He understood something. He understood something that this man took time to recognize how much of a blessing it was from God. Unless you've been shut out, unless you've been isolated and lonely and empty and void of your family and void of your church and void of anything. Listen, if you were in another third world country somewhere and they wouldn't let you worship the Lord, then you would probably, when you could, you'd probably let loose and worship him. But since it's freedom to worship God in America, we have the privilege of sitting there and folding our arms and saying, I don't have to get that excited about God. But have you ever seen anybody worship God in another country? Especially where the freedom was taken away. It seems like when they take the freedom away, Josiah, they want to go even louder because they appreciate it. You never appreciate it until you lose it. I said, you don't really know what you got until it's gone. And then you're left with regrets. And so I'm saying, Jesus wants us to recognize that Satan's lying. He tries to convince you that everything is wrong in your life. You got nothing to be thankful for, and you can't fall for that. When you forget God and how much he's done for you, you get dissatisfied, discontent, depressed, discouraged, defeated, depressed. It's a downward progression of an unthankful heart. It starts with an ungrateful heart. And I think God wants us to be grateful. Amen? He understood the perception that people begin to backslide when you forget to praise and give thanks to God for the blessing. He also understood the priority of gratitude. And when he recognized he was healed, he turned around. Hey, where y'all going? We going home. I haven't had mama's green beans and pork chops in years. And they did not know where the blessing came from. You go get your green beans. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going back to tell the man who gave me life again, thank you. And he yelled and he praised and he screamed like a madman, just like he did earlier. And the Bible says he fell on his face and he worshiped Jesus. And he thanked him profusely over and over again. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, 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 God. And just when he wanted to get up, he said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. How many of you had the Lord do something so good to you that you couldn't help but say, thank you, Lord? I think we take his love for granted. I think that's what happens sometimes. We haven't understood the priority of gratitude. He goes back to Jesus, gives him thanks and a loud praise. And he puts his family and his friends and everything else aside so he could worship the one who made being with everyone possible. I could not be with my family if it wouldn't be for Jesus. I would not have what I have if it had not been for the Lord. Amen? And when you start getting appreciating that, then thankful spirit becomes a priority in your life. And remember that the spirit of ingratitude is part of the sinful nature, so you have to fight against that. How many of you had to teach your children to say thank you? Come on, how many of you, your children just came out of the womb, thank you, thank you, thank you? How many of you, somebody gave your child something, and you waited, you're like, what are you going to say? What do you mean what I'm going to say, Mama? We ain't leaving here until you say thank you. It seems like an eternity, right? What are you going to say? So Pastor may be on the edge of this platform saying to you, what are you going to say? Because God wants the same thing you want. I said the Heavenly Father wants the same thing you want, Mom and Dad, to teach you the simple truth of manners. Don't make me get Barney out here and sing a song to you. Sad that Barney teaches our kids more than the church. Sad. And the perfection of gratitude. Should we say thanks because God needs our thanks? Absolutely not. We need to say thank you because we need to say thank you. Our kids need to say thank you, not because the adult needed it for the little piece of candy, but the kid's going to grow up with an unthankful spirit if we don't teach them and break that wheel and tell them how to learn how to say please and thank you. Some magic words. If animals could speak, you'd hear the fishes and the birds saying please and thank you. You go and watch the Barney video. You'll get that later. But the Bible says he drew near to where the Lord was and he glorified God. In the Greek, it means that he made the Lord glorious. He made the Lord glorious. So it wasn't like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if any of the other nine got a glimpse of what the one did. And I wonder what everybody else around him said. He was making the Lord glorious. He was making the Lord's name great. What they're saying or what they're seeing is, hey man, what did he do for you that would make you go so bonkers over him? Why would you go that crazy over Jesus? If you only knew what the Lord has done for me. I said, hey, when you find out what the Lord is really, when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, makes me want to shout. Amen? And that's the perfection of it. He manifested the worth of the Lord. He manifested the worth of the Lord. Look at verse 15 and 16. He praised God in a loud voice. With the same loudness and intensity that he cried out for help, he glorifies God. Watch this. Most of the time we cry out for loud help, but low in praise. Loud in help me, low in praise. So Psalm 69, 18 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us down with benefits. I don't know if you get that, but every day he loads me down with benefits. You can continue to feel like you're loaded down with burdens, and some of us have them. But just because you have a burden, they don't outdo the benefit. I'd rather have the Lord with the burden than the burden without the Lord. Because at least I have somebody to thank. The worst day on the planet for an atheist is Thanksgiving Day. For they want to be thankful, but have no one to thank. Because they don't believe in anybody. But I believe in an awesome God. I believe that every good and perfect gift that ever came from the one who's provided for me. And it just makes me just well up with praise, Max. I just get excited when I get thankful. You see, you know, my friends, when I first got saved, they said, don't worry, Ronnie will calm down. He will calm. Give him a few years, he'll calm down. Some of them still wondering if I'm getting calm or not. He's done so much for me, I just don't seem to think I can calm down. Now, if you've gotten calm, maybe you forgot what he's done for you. But I can't forget it. Come on, saints, you should never pray without thanking God for something. How can you turn your thanksgiving into thanksliving? One word. Thinking. Thanking is the same word as thinking. It's amazing to me. It's the same word. The word thankfulness is actually the word that means thankfulness. The more you think of his goodness and all he's done, the more thankful you are. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. Right? You recognize that God has blessed your life, and the more your attitude of gratitude comes, it will overflow inside of you. If you would stop to think more, you would stop to thank more. But we get so caught up in the blessings, we forget to thank the blessor. So that's why David prayed in Psalm 103:2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who heals all of our diseases, who covers our sin. Anybody glad for that? Let's just get home. The third one is powerful to me, and I know it's three minutes over, but just relax. We had a lot going on. And I don't get to preach tonight, so you're getting a double blessing. The third one is respond to the one who has done it all. Verses 16 through 19. Fell down on his face and gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. What? And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." He responded. I want you to look closer at this because God chose to heal all 10 of them physically. Help me out here. Did God not heal all 10 of them? Of course he did. Of course he did. They all got healed physically. But because only one of them came and chose to respond in gratitude, the Lord Jesus chose to give him a double blessing. He healed him physically and he saved him spiritually. Not only did he heal him of leprosy, not only did he give him intimacy again with his family, he had intimacy with God. He's reconciled back to God because he responded to Jesus. Gratitude. Wow. Wow. He healed him spiritually too. 10 were exposed to God's power, but only one came and sought God's presence. If I had a choice to respond to God's power or God's presence, I think I would choose his presence. Because wherever his presence is, there is the potential and propensity for his power. But if I just take his goodness and forget his relationship, I might get a physical healing, but I might not get the spiritual intimacy. This is serious stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is serious stuff." It's good stuff. And because he did, he got a personal relationship with the healer and the Savior. That's powerful. Gratitude is an expression of dependence on God. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is hoda'ah. It is the same word for confession. When he responded and came to say thank you, he was really saying, "I need you. Where have you been all my life? If I would have had you in the beginning..." You know, the Bible talks about tasting of the Lord and seeing of his goodness. I just wonder if some of God's people haven't yet tasted to see that the Lord is good. I wonder if you tasted and you just had a bad taste, or somebody put a bad taste in your mouth. But he offers thanks and he's confessing, "I needed you." It's dependence. "I needed your grace, O King Jesus. Mercy, Son of David, King Jesus, Messiah, I need you." Over here. Then over here, he said, "Wow, I'm going back to the one who gave me this. I need you all of my life. I don't need you just to heal me. I need you to keep me and save me. I need you to be with me forever, Lord. Don't ever leave me. I need your presence, O King. I was lonely and isolated. Everybody's forsook me. I lost my family. I lost everything. Nobody would touch me, but you touch me. You touched me, O King Jesus. You graced me." I think we ought to praise the Lord. I just think we ought to stop right here and give the Lord a praise. I wonder if you can help me. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering and a shout and a praise. Come on, come on. What about us? Can we respond to the Lord? Can we say, "Thank you, Lord. I need you. I confess, Lord, I need you. I don't deserve you, but I need you." And you know, I think if we catch this, it will help us respond in gratitude for the blessings of your life. I'm talking about the little things, everyday things that God gives you. While you listen to me today, 900 people died of starvation. While we were in here, 900 people died of starvation. And after church, we're going to go home and eat whatever we want, as much as we want. And the worst of us in here is going to have enough to eat today. And number two, respond in gratitude for the burdens. I mean, if you got some change in your pocket, that's a blessing. But I don't mean by responding in gratitude for the blessings, I don't mean to thank God for all the problems. I mean to thank God even in all the problems. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything we are to give thanks. In everything, not necessarily for everything. I'm not thankful for the trouble. I'm not thankful for trouble. You're crazy if you are thanking the Lord for the trouble. You got more troubles than you know if you're thanking the Lord for your troubles. We thank the Lord in the trouble, not for the trouble. We're thankful in the midst of our trouble. Thanksgiving is an act of our faith. It allows us to obey God even when life gets tough and doesn't make sense. I love this quote. The seeds of discouragement will not grow in the soil of a grateful heart. Discouragement will not grow in a grateful heart. If you keep saying thank you, it's a good chance you won't get so far down to where you want to be defeated and everything's bad around you. I want to close. There are levels of a thankful heart. How thankful are you? There are those who constantly complain about everything and everyone all the time. And then there are those who live ungrateful for anything. There are those who are thankful for the obvious. I'm thankful, God, that I have good health and good, you know, I'm thankful for the obvious. And even when you pray, you say, Lord, thank you for the food. We call that saying grace. We call that saying grace around the table, right? Because it's the same word. It means charisma. It means gift. It's the same word. I'm saying thank you means I'm saying I need your grace. And then there are those who have learned to be thankful for all things, all the time. Those are the levels of living. And I don't know, I tried to raise our children to be thankful. To the degree that which you are thankful is a sure sign of your spiritual health. And Satan doesn't have to steal anything from you. All he has to do is make you take his love for granted. I want Christy to come back. I'm done preaching. I preach too long anyway. I always do. And I know you're thankful for that. Well, you could go to one of these churches to get you out in about 5 minutes, but you'll be spiritually dead in about 5 months. I'd rather feed you. Amen? I'd rather give you something to eat so you can go home with something sticking to your ribs instead of, oh, you're so sweet and you're so good and everybody's all fluffy and happy. Nobody's got sin in your life. And then watch your family deteriorate. I mean, you speak the truth in love. And I think it's time that this generation, you know, it scares me as 2 Timothy 3 talks about one of the things in the perilous times. All right, it says in the last days, perilous times will come. Remember that? And one of the things on the list, men should be lovers of themselves and high-minded. One of the things on the list is unthankful. Unthankful. It shocks me to think that unthankfulness is a list right there with haughtiness and high-mindedness and wickedness. Because if you go too long with your heart being unthankful, ungrateful, then you will be just the most self-centered, isolated, lonely person. I want you to stand with me today. And I wonder how you're doing. This is you and Jesus. This is you and Jesus. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. How many thinks it's going to be a great Thanksgiving? It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. If you don't think so, you probably ought to be the first one in the altar. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. But here's what I want to do. I want you to do is personal inventory. Personal inventory. How are you living in Thanksgiving? How are you?